Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
Aren't weddings one of the most beautiful and sacred events in the lives of two people? With their families gathered, the happy couple affirms solemn vows to one another before their God. In his book, Light Through an Eastern Window, Bishop K.C. Pillai, Bishop at Large of the Indian Orthodox Church, indicated, in the biblical culture, the covenant of salt was a vital part of the wedding ceremony. The bride and groom, having pledged themselves one to another, would then take a small amount of salt on the moistened index finger of their right hand and place it on each other's lips to seal their vow by a covenant of salt. Smith's Bible Dictionary calls the covenant of salt an indissoluble alliance. In essence, it meant that you would guard, defend, and preserve your vows with your life. In the East, a man would rather die than break that covenant. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5 reads, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" And again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Some still practice that covenant of salt today in such sacred services as weddings, the dedication of our children, and ordination to the ministry. We solemnly commit ourselves to our spouses, to the raising of our children, and to the faithful performance of the ministry before the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, most people today are not as passionate to keep the vows they have made. The truth be told, whether kept or abandoned, the moment the vow is uttered, a spiritual bond is fused, a merger of words with will. Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6 read, "And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave or be joined fast together to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Therefore, come sound advice," in Ecclesiastes, "to consider your words carefully before you commit yourself in a vow." In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." The sacrifice of fools is to commit ourselves to things we will not really carry out. We are admonished to pay attention to what we're about to bind ourselves to before God. Contemplate the spiritual ramifications. I've seen where people, in the enthusiasm and emotion of the moment, commit themselves to things they will not have the determination to finish, and spiritually enjoin themselves by their affirmation and pledge. In the Amplified Bible, the words, "keep thy foot," means give your mind to what you're doing. Think about what you are about to say that you are going to do. The phrase "to be more ready to hear" is as draw near to hear and obey. First, come close and listen to make sure our oath will line up with the Word of God. Secondly, that we understand what is required of us so that we may be obedient to our vow. Evil means it's injurious. The word in its root form indicates the breaking up of all that is good. Because of the makeup of men, making pledges that we do not fulfill is an evil we put upon ourselves. The broken pledge tears away at all the inherent goodness and virtue that is in mankind. It breaks up all that is in good in man, namely self-confidence, integrity, self-assurance, and even self-worth, which are necessary building blocks for success and moral strength. Verse 2 says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." God, who looks on the heart, sees men in life situations from the highest vantage point possible. It's the same God who made, formed, and created man. In other words, he knows what makes mankind tick. The omniscient God is aware of the long-term spiritual impact of our vows and the effects vows have upon our lives, mentally, spiritually, and even physically, whether they are accomplished or left unfulfilled. Verses 3 through 5 read, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. We can see a fool is one who witlessly makes promises and enters into agreements cavalierly. Even invoking the name of God without considering, he is including the Almighty in his pledge. This is extremely serious. Taking the name of the Lord in vain runs much deeper than muttering a few profanities. I'm sure you see why this would be so injurious to people, how it breaks down and corrupts all that is good, and how it would allow the enemy to realize that such men and women would be defenseless against his attacks. They are not recognizing the power there is in calling upon the name of the Lord. Thus, they severely limit God's assistance and intervention in their behalf. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25 in the New International Version reads, "It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly, and only later to consider his vows." People often make commitments to God in times of stress to do something or promise to stop doing something, and then they forget about it. Yet, God did not forget to deliver them out of their distresses, and he does it time and time again. Psalm 107 is a tremendous record filled with records of God's forgiveness and redemption of man. In verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." These words are repeated 8 times in this psalm. The number 8 represents a new beginning. There are 7 days in a week, and then the 8th day starts a new week. The 8th note on a scale begins a new octave. There is always a fresh start with God. I very much appreciate God's mercy and grace, but we should also appreciate the love of Christ to give our utmost for his highest and carry out our words to him. We soothe ourselves in the knowledge that God still loves us or God forgives us. We comfort ourselves in God's grace. But are we not given grace that we may live the truth, not fail our vows, and quit? I have seen the beloved quit because of their own sins and shortcomings, and I have also seen them quit because of someone else's sins. But neither one is valid, because God never quit on us. It's not a matter of being perfect, rather it's a matter of being faithful. At the least, we should make an earnest to live up to our own words. God has never failed to live up to his promises to us, live up to his word. Look at your Bible. Has God not kept his commitment to both the Old and the New Testaments? Certainly. With all God has done for us and the goodness of his blessings upon our lives, we should keep that which we have obliged ourselves. When will the love of Christ constrain us to give our all to fulfill that which we freely uttered before him? If men reneged on their promises to other men as quickly as they allow themselves to forget their promises to God, they would be greatly ashamed. Yet, the Lord understands these frailties in men. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." God allows a lot of room in mercy and time for us to be faithful. Where we have failed to keep our word, there is always forgiveness and an opportunity to begin anew. John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 61, he speaks, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing." Selah, or consider deeply. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear or reverence thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." David found himself in some very difficult and sticky situations. His heart was overwhelmed. I'm sure he considered quitting a time or two. His heart grew faint. But in those times he cried out unto God. He's vowed himself to be faithful king for Israel under a covenant of Saul, remember? God had promised the kingdom to him and his sons to sit on the throne. However, one of his sons, Absalom, tries to lead a coup against him with some of his father's most trusted and respected advisors. At the time David was even anointed and committed himself to be king, Saul was already the king. While David attempted to serve under Saul, Saul attempted a number of times to kill him. David was forced to live in exile and on the run. He was given a wife that made up her mind to hate him and marry somebody else. After the death of Saul, he's finally officially made king and is treated disrespectfully by Saul's son, faces a civil war between Israel and Judah, and faced many other troubles and distresses to keep his covenant. Cushy job, right? He could have easily rode off into the sunset, became a shepherd. But he was determined to keep his vow to God. Why? Because he considered the blessings of walking with God far outweigh the troubles of life, and to finish his vow, his most worthy pursuit. Psalm 84, verses 9 through 11, it says, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I will sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. If he remains in your heart, in songs of praise, you can perform your vows daily. The vows we may have made to our spouses before Him need to be completed. The vows we have made to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord should be fulfilled. The vows we made as a minister should not be deferred. We should focus upon the love that led us to these decisions and commitments. It is that same love that will lead us to the blessings of a job well done. We will find His strength to carry out our vows. We will be renewed to the task as we walk in the blessings of fellowship with the Lord. Will it not be grand and glorious to say in our closing days, as Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." There is no more worthy purpose and assessment of our lives than to hear the words, "This is my beloved son or daughter, in whom I am well pleased."
We'll be right back to our message in a moment. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about Lawrence Panarello's new book, The True Justice of a Just God. Alejandra Vernon, a top 25 reviewer for Amazon.com, calls it an inspiring work that will fill you with hope and love. Exquisitely written, it has a simplicity and graceful beauty in its style that is a rarity in this age. It is a joy to read, not only for the power of its thoughts, but also for the words chosen to express them. If you would like to order a copy, a link is provided at our website, www.myinternetchapel.org. If you're being blessed by the good news shared by Beloved of God Ministries and would like to support our global mission, we thankfully receive your tax-deductible gifts and contributions through our website or by mail at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. If you've missed our contact information, it will be repeated at the close of our broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, here's Lawrence Panarello.
Before we bind ourselves under a vow, let's first make sure we have sufficiency to finish the work. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" We have the wonderful opportunity to be the architect and builder of our own lives. Our dreams are virtually endless. Once the foundation has been laid, we have the option to design build the uniqueness of our own choosing within the framework of Christ and being laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 say, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder or an architect, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I'm sure you remember the record about the man who built his house upon a stone and the one who built his house upon the sand. We have the proper foundation, so now let us build. Verse 12, Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, look at the variety of building materials. None of these are inherently bad. The importance is that they are built correctly. Some houses have a shingle roof. Others use Mexican tile. There are thatched roofs and flat roofs covered with a thick membrane. They are all good quality materials. The important part is that whichever you choose, it is built correctly. It meets the required code. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. The day is the day the inspector comes to view our work, is the day our occupancy permit will be issued or denied. It will indicate whether our building is worth anything or fails to make the grade. If we have quit building, of course, that work will be in vain. In the Bible times, a groom would build an apartment to his parents' land or adjoining to their home. He planned, prepared, and built it with the idea that upon his marriage, he could bring his bride home to abide with him. If the apartment was unfinished, he would be ashamed because he had not made a place for his beloved one. As the church, we are to be built together for a habitation of God by the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Here again in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Our salvation is by grace, but rewards are earned by merit. We are to be good and diligent workmen, always remembering we are laborers together with God. He has not failed us, nor will he ever. Our vows should be of our own choosing after careful consideration. But once we have made our vows before God, he expects us to fulfill them. It's too late to say, I didn't know what it would take, or that it would require this much labor, or require so much of me. But God is always there to assist us and to supply all of our need. Philippians 4:13 from the Amplified Bible reads, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. We can do through Christ. We can keep our vows and finish our course. If you wonder, what can I do with my life? The great American historian James Truslow Adams encourages, the great use of life is to spend it on something that will outlast it. What greater work can we find than to build the habitation of the Lord? If we make a vow, we need to fulfill it. Make careful consideration ahead of time, remembering that we are laborers together with God. We have his full assistance and have his complete love. Where we are living in a dormant vow or broken commitments, we should renew ourselves to finish the building. Thank God for forgiveness and go back to work. In areas where we perhaps have made such a mess of things, go to the Father and ask for his forgiveness, knowing he is faithful and just. And ask direction how you may still perform at least the spiritual side of your vow. In some cases, it may only be in the intercessory prayer and the commanding of blessings where it would be inappropriate, say, to insert yourself again in others' lives. But get involved with your local congregation. That will help you keep focused on God, his blessings and assistance. There are many wonderful ministers and godly counselors that can help you with God's word and guidance. I am reminded of that beautiful old hymn, He's the Healer of Broken Hearts. It goes, He's the Healer of Broken Hearts. He'll mend your shattered dreams. He'll pick up the threads of your broken hearts and weave them together again. To your soul, he'll bring peace and joy. Your friend, indeed, he'll be. He's the healer of broken hearts, this Jesus of Blue Galilee. You have made God a partner to your vow, not your adversary against it. You can begin anew. Beloved, let the love that filled your heart, that elicited that vow, see you through. Love never fails, and God will never leave you nor forsake you. If you don't have a local congregation you want to join, then please contact us. Through the methods and developments of our times, we can provide you a virtual church by emails, telephones, and our website until you can establish yourself with the flock of God in your community. Our contact information is coming up at the close of this broadcast. We wish you always God bless and Godspeed.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.